Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Steve Zwentke, filling in for Lori Walsh. The Interim Joint Committee on Appropriations met last week. Democratic State Representative Michael Saba is on the committee, and he joins us in the Kirby Family Studio in Sioux Falls to discuss the meetings and to visit about new ways to bring money into South Dakota. Representative Saba, welcome to In the Moment. I've really been looking forward to this conversation today.
Well, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it also.
Let's start by talking about the purpose of last week's Interim Joint Appropriations Committee meetings.
Well, we have regular interim meetings during the off-session period. Around the state as a rule. In this particular case, we had it up in Brookings because we were looking at various projects that we've funded and or projects that are asking for funding. So it was kind of the Brookings stop was right in the middle of going from Mitchell to Madison to Lake Norton and then over to Brookings and then to Volga and then up to Watertown where we ended it. But we had the meeting in Brookings.
Right. So you really traveled quite a bit of the map here in East River, South Dakota, looking at some projects. Can you tell us a little bit about the trip that led up to the meeting in Brookings, kind of some of the things that you were looking at?
Yeah, we were looking at, for example, the Vocational Training Center in Mitchell. We're looking at Dakota State and Madison, the cheese plant, Aguapur, up in Lake Norton. And then the various projects in Volga, the grain project and the feed project there. And then in Watertown, or in Brookings itself, we went to SDSU. And up in Watertown, we looked at Tessera and we looked at some other projects that are going on. We looked at Joy Ranch. It was quite a good trip, actually. And to see these things firsthand are really critical for people in the Appropriations Committee. Well, for anyone, I think. But we are allocating money for these projects, and we want to make sure they're doing the right things for South Dakota.
Right. Let's talk about new international business for South Dakota. We spoke over the phone last week, and you shared some very interesting ideas. Let's bring that to the table now. First, though, you explained that there are two kinds of new dollars. Would you go there first?
Well, my single highest priority, Steve, is in the legislature, and the work I'm doing is to bring new business into South Dakota and to preserve and enhance South Dakota's agricultural heritage. Those are very important. And I'm tying the two together. When you say there are only two kinds of new dollars, one is when the government prints new dollars, and that puts us further in debt, $22 trillion and rising, I believe. Mm-hmm. I believe it's $1 billion a day in interest that we're paying on that debt. And when you print more money, you're creating a larger debt. Or you go outside the United States and you bring new business into the United States. Those are truly new dollars. When we steal business from Minnesota, for example, if North Dakota or South Dakota or any of the other states get a new kind of business because another state is losing it, it's just recirculating old dollars. So bringing new business can be done through bringing in dollars from outside the United States, and I'm working very hard on that.
You already gave us some examples of ways that we have some projects in place in South Dakota. As we look at international money, though, in South Dakota, what are some examples we currently have in place with foreign countries or businesses?
Well, the major example is that, generally speaking, economists will say that 70% of South Dakota's economy is based on agriculture. And 40% or more even of that agricultural business is based on exports. So for right from the get-go, we are very dependent on international business. But we have very little to do with it in a direct sense. We just kind of wait for international business to come to us. And what I've been doing and what I've just recently done is decided through my experience internationally, I've lived outside the United States for many years, and I speak various languages and travel often in my work to other countries, is to bring some of those new dollars into South Dakota directly. So recently I was on a trip about 3 weeks ago to the Middle East, to Lebanon, Jordan, and Egypt. And while there, I organized, this was on my own personal basis, I organized trade delegations coming from those countries into South Dakota. The first one's coming from Egypt in October. Very importantly, those countries are purchasers of agricultural products and agri-technology. But when we hear that Egypt purchases, or was one of the 10 top purchasers of soybeans, for example, from the United States, it's out of New York or Chicago or whatever, and they don't know much about South Dakota. So it's very important to bring these trade delegations directly to South Dakota to see the quality of our products and to see if we can put some possible projects together for them that would be more direct between the state and countries like Egypt.
We discussed tariffs, crops, and farmers. Of course, they're at the forefront of our news and now for several months. Are there ways for South Dakota to seek out and work with other markets like you're talking about, Egypt, some other countries, to lessen the effect of tariffs for those here in South Dakota?
Well, what we see with the tariffs on China is how dependent we become on one market. Mm-hmm. And that's never good to become dependent on one market, because as we've seen, when we have the tariffs being placed on China and they're coming back at us with their own tariffs, and right now they've cut off all agricultural imports from the United States, not just beans and corn and so on, but all agricultural imports. And we're seeing it on other products too. We must be looking for other markets. We should be aggressive in looking for those other markets, not just wait for them to come to us. And as a legislator that has experience in the international marketplace, I've taken it upon myself to go out to that international marketplace and bring business here. And we're having meetings this week here with the Sioux Falls Chamber of Commerce. It's going to be one of the hosts for this group of Egyptians. We're bringing in all the trade organizations, the soybeans, the corn, and the wheat organizations, as well as the cattle people, and agri-technology, because these folks are very interested in agri-technology. So they can see what we have, and chances are we'll be invited for a return delegation to go to those countries. Mm-hmm. And that's extremely important. Now, the state should be more involved in this. As a representative of the people, though, as a state representative of the people, I'm taking it upon myself to represent those people in a direct sense, not wait for the state to put these trade delegations together. We haven't had trade delegations for years now from South Dakota. And part of it is we just are sitting here and kind of waiting for business to come to us. President Trump was asked in Kansas some few months ago by a farmer about the tariffs. And he said, look, I'll take care of the nation, you take care of your states. So that's what we should be doing, taking care of our own state. That's what I'm doing.
Hmm. I'm curious about that, too, because if South Dakota is not doing enough in that area, I'm curious to know, with your meetings last week with the rest of the Joint Appropriations Committee, how much did you talk about what you're talking with me about right now? And where does the rest of the committee and the rest of the legislature stand?
Well, I'm very proud of the fact that we have a balanced state budget, and we have had since the inception of statehood. And that's part of my responsibility on the Appropriations Committee to ensure that. But it also seems to me that particularly with appropriations, we should be looking for more money to come into the budget, mm-hmm. so that we can expand our state's needs. And that's basically what I talked about at the Appropriations Committee, how I'm doing that. I asked them to join my efforts to increase this business coming into the state. And interestingly, in many of the places we stopped, we found that there probably is more international business going on already by the efforts of individual companies.
Sure.
Like, for example, in Watertown, we discovered that Tessera company, that's a large company up there, manufacturing company, is already on all seven continents. It's on Antarctica as well as the other six, for example, with their wares. And the Lake Area Technical Center up there has been training aviation technicians from Indonesia. Now, interestingly, Indonesia is also a major purchaser of soybeans, generally U.S. soybeans. We should have those Indonesians over here looking at our beans and saying, come on, we've got the best beans in the country. We've got the best corn in the country. We've got the best beef in the country. Come and buy it from us directly. We've got people that can sell it to you. That needs to happen in a very aggressive sense. We can't just wait. We can't be complaining about the tariffs without doing something on our own.
That leads me into the next question, too. You're talking about some of the efforts of our trade schools here in South Dakota, and we have some really excellent trade schools or technical schools that work in very specific areas, places like Mitchell Tech, for example. How do we incorporate some of our technical schools into helping gain international dollars for the state of South Dakota?
Well, basically, there's a lot of jobs that can lead to that. For example, most of the schools now, and primarily South Dakota State, is developing precision agriculture. We're the only, I believe North Dakota now has adopted a precision agriculture program, but we're the first state, and we have the only extensive program in four-year program degree in precision agriculture, which helps increase and allocate much better planning to increasing crop production, for example. That can be sold, and the technicians that deliver that can be trained here to do that. That's badly needed in the rest of the world, not just here. We can be selling that technology. We can be having our people. I was reading in the Argus Leader this morning about the brain drain, and one of the quotations about in that article was, I'm leaving the state after I'm educated here because we don't have the diversity here that I like to see. We don't have the ability to see the world. Well, we can do that with training people in these kinds of technical jobs that can go out of the state, can be in the state, can live here in South Dakota, can be going and doing technological consulting in countries all over the world. So we can be doing that with our training institutions.
A lot of times it seems, when you talk about that, a lot of times it seems like South Dakota is still kind of an untapped resource. I mean, we that are here in South Dakota really realize the potential and some of the things we have going for us, especially when you look at the medical field. Do you kind of see it that way too, that we're still untapped as opposed to some of the other parts of the country?
Absolutely. The last few years I've worked for both the Sanford and the Avera Health Systems. They've got world-class things going on. I was responsible for putting the children's clinics around the world for Sanford. I moved them into, helped move them into China and to Ghana, for example. And then when I moved over to Avera, I worked with them with precision medicine and with genomic sequencing as part of that, as well as telemedicine. These are world-class things that these two institutions have. Incredible untapped resources. It could be not just serving the state, and they should first and foremost serve the state, but also taking this technology to the rest of the world. And we're good at it. We're very good at it. We're world class.
One of the things that comes to mind too while we discuss these issues is that this is really an effort to work across the aisle with other members of the legislature and just people throughout South Dakota in general. Talk about working across the aisle and your interest in that and how that helps what we're talking about here in attracting these international dollars.
Well, I don't think anyone in the legislature disagrees with my emphasis on bringing new business in and preserving South Dakota's agricultural heritage. I think they agree on that. Those are the points I've worked on. So I have had very good luck of working across the aisle with these kinds of concepts. And I'm working with, for example, Representative Skylar Borglum, and I have begun to collaborate on an interesting project looking at the Pierce Shale formation that we have in South Dakota. It's not Bakken, but it is shale, and it could be producing more energy on a local level to decrease costs of energy. For example, you have a lot of that big formation under the Rosebud Indian Reservation. They could be utilizing or looking at utilizing that. And these are the kinds of things that are very agreeable across the aisle. So I'm concentrating on that, going back to my concept. New business, new ideas, thinking out of the box, and preserving South Dakota's agricultural heritage. Very important.
I was listening to one of the syndicated radio talk shows just a couple of days ago, and the conversation was that Mexico could be or is actually increasingly becoming a better partner, even with the border situation top of mind. What's your assessment of Mexico as a trade partner with a focus on possibilities for South Dakota?
Well, Mexico is America's second largest international trade partner after Canada. And, we can just take trucks and drive things across the border. So it's very easy to export. The potential is tremendous. And we have a resource here. We have people that have come from Mexico, that have immigrated to South Dakota, come from Latin America, are Spanish-speaking. They're a great resource for helping us to move into those international marketplaces. So we should look at our immigrants and how, what they can help provide us. And that's true of other immigrants also that can lead us into international business operations.
Right. Is there another interim joint appropriations committee here in the near future?
Yes, there we'll be going to a West River tour in November, very similar to what we did with the East River, and looking at projects, Ellsworth Air Base. We'll be looking at the underground mine, the center out there, things that we've helped to fund historically, and I'm looking forward to that trip.
And also talking about attracting international dollars for some of our West River ventures.
Absolutely. Yeah. That cattle business the things that go with it have great potential for bringing international business. South Dakota beef is the best in the world, and we want the rest of the world to see that.
All right. Anything else you'd like to touch on, Michael, before we move on here today?
No, it's just that I think it's very important that all citizens become aware of the fact that we need to do more of this. They need to encourage the state to do more. We're one of only three states that did not get have any funds granted from the federal government, the SBA, for international trade missions. We didn't even apply. Now we've got to be aware of that, and that the awareness comes from citizens saying, "Hey, you legislators, push the state government to do more of this. Don't just let them sit there and wait for this to come to us. We need to make it happen."
All right. Let's keep in touch. Representative Michael Saba, he represents District 9 here in South Dakota in the Sioux Falls area. And Michael, thank you so much. I was looking forward to this. It's been a good conversation.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.